Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for this next hour, Saquon Gatlin, and I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the show this morning. Coming up on today's show, we have the 7-day weather forecast and news from around the state. Lynn Hicks from the Iowa Department of Justice Office of the Attorney General did an interview with us to speak about fraudulent veteran corporations. After that, we have an interesting points to ponder about mistakes, forgiveness, and love. At the end of the program, we'll have Crystal Davis join us from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Stay tuned. This is Local Talk. Need to know what to wear this week? Have no fear. This week's weather forecast has arrived. Today is a lonely day for the weather. Expect isolated thunderstorms later this afternoon. Get what I did there? There's a 30% chance of precipitation. Not high, but you still may want to grab your umbrella. The high is 84 degrees and the low is 59. In a complete turn of events, tomorrow is golden bright sunshine. Temperatures will stay in the low 80s until Tuesday evening. Wednesday is partly cloudy, with a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. On Thursday, temperatures drop below the 80s and will stay there for the rest of the week. Thursday is mostly sunny, and Friday is mostly cloudy, with highs of 77 on both days. At the peak of the weekend, the clouds can't seem to pick up the pieces. Scattered thunderstorms are all over the place on Saturday. Sunday is filled with much sun as the forecast is partly cloudy. And that's all we have for your weather forecast this week. Let's take a look into the news from around the state. Longtime Des Moines Register columnist Donald Call has passed away. His family confirmed on Sunday he passed away at age 83. The Des Moines Register reported on his health condition earlier this year in January. Call battled with prostate cancer. The Register stated he ceased treatment after the illness spread to his skeleton. The regular columns he wrote were known for their satire. Call was a 2-time finalist for a Pulitzer Prize, one for the Cedar Rapids Gazette and the other for the Register. He was one of the founders of RAGBRAI, which is occurring tomorrow. Our condolences go out to his family. We want to thank you, Donald, for serving journalism to the Des Moines and Cedar Rapids areas. Authorities are looking for a University of Iowa student who reportedly went missing after taking a jog. Posey County Emergency Management Agency stated in a news release, Molly Tibbetts was last seen in Brooklyn, Iowa. She was dog-sitting in Brooklyn with her boyfriend. He told authorities she went for a run around 10 o'clock on Wednesday and hasn't came back. The sheriff's office reported Tibbetts was last seen in gym shorts, a black sports bra, and running shoes. She is described as 5'2", with brown hair and brown eyes, and is around 120 pounds. Her family was concerned when she did not show up for work the next morning. The sheriff's office has not found any new information. Authorities have asked anyone who may know any information in the disappearance of Molly Tibbetts to call 641-623-5679. Once again, that is 641-623-5679. President Donald Trump is scheduled to visit Iowa this Thursday to discuss tariffs on farmers' produce. Tensions have grown between Iowa farmers and the Trump administration as the trade wars have hurt farmers' crops. U.S. soybean prices have fallen nearly 20% since Trump first levied tariffs on certain imports. Earlier this month, China responded to the tariffs with tariffs of their own, one of which was soybean imports. Iowa is the second largest soybean producing state in the U.S. Other Iowa farm good prices have also fallen, including corn and pork. The president will visit Dubuque on Thursday. Details are yet to be released on the exact of his arrival. He is also scheduled to visit Illinois later this week. Several tornadoes have caused massive destruction across the state of Iowa. A CNN meteorologist reported 27 tornadoes hit our state over the weekend. Several towns and businesses were damaged in the process. A company in Pella was hit severely. 7 employees from the Vermeer Corporation were sent to the hospital. Also, a large industrial building in Bondurant is missing sections and many homes were destroyed. Our hearts go out to all of our fellow Iowans who have been impacted by this tornado. And that's all we have for your statewide news report. Many U.S. military personnel face severe complications after serving in the armed forces. Some veterans have difficulty finding jobs upon their return home. Others may struggle with mental health concerns, including PTSD and traumatic brain injury, or even physical injury. Homelessness is another serious concern. Male veterans are 1.3 times more likely to be homeless than non-veteran men. Female veterans are 3.6 times more likely to be homeless than non-veteran women. Nonprofit and charity organizations dedicated to veterans raise funds to address these issues. However, a great deal of veteran charities are under fire for behaving in fraudulent activities. In response to charity fraud, the Federal Trade Commission and officials from every state have banded together to end fraudulent charities. On Thursday, July 19th, Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller joined the FTC and state officials around the country to announce the campaign Operation Donate with Honor. I spoke about the campaign with Lynn Hicks, the communication director at the Iowa Department of Justice Office of the Attorney General. He began our conversation by discussing the mission of the campaign.
Yeah, the mission is to let people know across the country about some of these scams that are going on of charities that claim to help veterans and service members. What we want to tell people is that don't give up giving to charities that help veterans, but to be very careful out there because there are just a lot of fraudulent charities and companies that are taking advantage of people, including people here in Iowa. And so this is a combination. So we're working with, on the federal level, working with the Federal Trade Commission, and we've got officials in every state who are joining with this. And so it's a combination of enforcement and education. And so there are, we've announced some investigations that we've done, and as well as working with offices elsewhere. And we're also releasing information, tips, a new video, and other things just to help people understand some of these scams and just to be careful.
Now, you said this was enforcement and education effort. Can you describe a little bit more of what the enforcement and education component is with this campaign?
As part of this, all the states and together we announced more than 100 actions against charities, fundraisers, and individuals. And those are various investigations and other legal actions that we've taken. And so in the last few months, our office has taken action against some of these. One example is a group called Veterans Relief Network. And what they would do, they would send out these flyers to make it sound like you were going to win sweepstakes. This is a company out of Indiana. And, very deceptive sweepstakes mailings make it sound like, if you donate, you could win a big prize. And there were more than 3,000 donations from Iowa alone in about 2 or 3 years, and they totaled more than 23,000. And Veterans Relief said that, you know, if you donate to us as part of this, we will help, you know, your donation will help get homeless military veterans off the streets and provide them a meal and a bed. Well, what we found out was that they didn't give any financial support of any kind to any Iowa veteran, even though Iowans gave more than $23,000. So that's just one example. Now, they are now barred from doing any soliciting in Iowa. And so part of our message here is that, you know, people who are either in Iowa or out of Iowa, if you try to do this, we're putting you on notice that we're going after you, and we will make sure that you cannot do business anymore.
Now, in those situations, do these businesses get shut down, or are they, like, exiled from operation or so, or is it just more of an awareness thing to where you let people know that these are the businesses that are fraudulent?
Right. Well, it's a little bit of all of the above, depending on the certain case. The Veterans Relief Network and was one that was barred. You know, we can only, you know, we can make sure that they don't operate in Iowa. And we can also do things to make sure that people who are affected get money back in some situations. We can't always, but we try to get it back. There was another operation from Florida, is that when we went after them, the Florida authorities also started targeting them. And that also, so that operation was called the Healing Heroes Network. They got shut down. There was a nonprofit out of Illinois called Viet Now, which claimed to help military veterans who were jobless or had PTSD. And that was a effort with Iowa and 23 other states. And that our investigation found that Viet Now had raised nearly $2 million every year.
Oh, wow.
Using telemarketers that had exaggerated their charitable activities. And so in that case, which happened in 2017, we worked together and were able to shut down that nonprofit.
Now, you said with the Vietnam situation, they had raised nearly $2 million every year. How often was that going on? Like, how long were they in operation? Do you know of that?
I have to go back and look at the Vietnam. That was, we know that they were, In Iowa, they were doing at least from they had started in at least in as far back as 2015 doing that. So the $2 million was nationwide. So it could have been going on longer than that.
Wow.
Wow. Nationally, but in Iowa, that was about the case.
Wow, that's just very terrible to hear. You know, especially since a lot of people, a lot of veterans are struggling. You know, it's, these people go over to serve and fight for us, and then when they come back, they're not even getting the funding that they, that other organizations are claiming
right,
that they're providing. So that's right. Very hard to hear. It's very disgusting, too.
Yeah, so that's part of our, you know, our message here is that, you know, yeah, we think people should be helping, you know, legitimate charities that are helping veterans and service members. But there's so many people out there, so many groups that are taking advantage. So that's why part of this, we give some tips, and I can share some tips. We also have them on our website about, you know, what to look for, what to avoid if you're considering giving to a to one of these charities. And one of the things to emphasize, you know, a lot of these charities, they will target older Iowans, and you know, their message can be confusing. I said they have some misleading mailings. You know, if you ever get a call and somebody says, you know, you need to donate right now, I mean, that should be a red flag. And the point is that you have time to check it out. There's lots of resources online. If you don't have access to the internet, you know, ask a loved one to help you, because there's lots of ways you can look up whether a nonprofit is organized, where they're based, you know, what people have said about them, there's lots of groups out there like the Wise Giving Alliance and Charity Watch that, you know, rate different charities. And another thing is, if you do decide to give money, you know, use a credit card, because that's the safest option. It could, you might be able to get that money back, but don't pay with cash. Or and if they ask for a gift card, that, or to wire money, those are things that scammers use all the time. And those all are things that should be telling you that, wait a second, let me step back and think about this some more.
Now, I'm guessing that charity fraud has influenced donations to veterans programs in a negative matter. What advice does the attorney general have for donors before making a donation? Like you said, a couple of them just before with a couple of red flags. But what other advice does the attorney general have for donors before making a donation?
You know, first of all, don't go by the name, because the problem is, I mean, for example, there are groups called, I mentioned some, like Veterans Relief Network, Healing Heroes Network, Foundation for American Veterans, Vietnam, National Headquarters, Military Families of America, Veterans Fighting Breast Cancer, the National Vietnam Veterans Foundation, and all those sound legitimate. All those have been sued for lying to donors. So, and you know, those names probably sound like very similar to a legitimate one. So, you know, pay very, very close attention to the name. If you can, you know, ask where are they from. Go find them on the web, find their website, and again, see if they're registered with the Iowa Secretary of State. Ask questions about how much of your donation will go to the charitable program that you want to support. You know, check online and, you know, put in the name and put in scam or complaint, and you might see what others have said about it. We've got more tips on charitable giving. You know, so those are some of the things that, you know, we would say to look for. And again, just take your time. If you feel rushed to make a donation, that should tell you that something's wrong.
Now, what other efforts has Attorney General Tom Miller enforced against to fight against charity fraud? I know there was a couple of situations that were pointed out on the release that spoke about some of the efforts that he had provided to fight charity fraud. Can you go into a little bit more of those specific situations? I know Vietnam was one of them, but were there any other situations that he had fought against?
Yeah, and the ones we were talking about were specifically ones related to veterans. But, you know, we go after, we get complaints all the time about charities, whether they have to deal with veterans or not. And we just also announced that we have helped Iowans apply for $11.2 million for people who say they were scammed by and had sent money through Western Union. Again, this idea of sending money through a wire transfer. And so people were, you know, these were people who thought they were going to win sweepstakes, you know, if you send us money, or they thought there were romance scams, you know, you know, they were promised, you know, send me money and, you know, as part of a dating scam. And a lot of these things are from foreign countries. Specifically on the veterans, another one that we are suing a company here in Iowa that was charging veterans for advice on applying for veterans benefits. And, you know, you should not pay for advice, because that you're not allowed to do that. And in fact, because of that case, we proposed a bill this year in the legislature and which passed and was signed by Governor Reynolds, and that prohibits anyone from receiving compensation for advising or assisting someone with veterans benefits. And it also requires if somebody puts on like an event and says, you know, I'll come to the all about veterans benefits, they need to disclose that, you know, this is not part of the U.S. Veterans Affairs, because it gets very confusing. And so that's one of the other ways that we've gone about this to protect people, is to change the laws in Iowa.
Now, where should donors report scams if ever they are in a situation where they have been scammed?
Right. So you can report it with our Consumer Protection Division. You can go to our website, and it'll walk you through the process. That's iowaattorneygeneral.gov. You can email us at consumer@ag.iowa.gov, or you can call us outside of Des Moines. It's toll-free, 888-777-4590. That's 888-777-4590. So if you do believe that, you know, you've scammed, or just to let us know about something, you know, please do. You'll also find other advice and tips on giving at our website. And at, another resource is the Federal Trade Commission, ftc.gov/charity. All of that, you know, we partner with them on some of these things. So, that, you know, when in doubt, please let us know about things that you see. You can also see information on our Twitter and Facebook pages at AG Iowa. And you'll see we have a new, some videos out that the FTC produced about stopping veteran charity scams.
That was New Person, Same Old Mistakes by Tame Impala. If you're just now tuning in, this is Local Talk on 89.1 KHOI FM, Story County. I'm your host, Saquon Gatlin. Have you ever made a mistake that keeps eating at your conscience? Messing up is not the problem. How you handle a mistake is critical toward letting something go. Welcome to Points to Ponder. I really love to play chess. It's one of my favorite activities, actually. A month ago, I was at Parks Library. When I got there, two men were playing a game of jumbo chess. I watched and asked to join them. One opponent demolished his friend, so I asked to play him. I assumed he was only strong because his opponent was weak. I had the first move with the white pieces in our first match. However, I played passively, and he actually destroyed me, like really terribly. No worries, we ran a game back. During the second game, I tightened up and played almost perfectly with the black pieces. Nearly every move I made was an excellent move, a good move, or the best move. Now, granted, I'm sure there were some flaws, but my strategy was strong. His king was stuck in the left corner. My pawns were forward and locked the position on the left. His rooks and bishops blocked his king from moving any closer to the center. My bishops, rooks, and my knight were ready for the final attack. There were maybe 10 moves or less left for me to win this game. I had pretty much won, but as a great chess player once said, the hardest games to win are the ones already won. In the next play, I had two pawns in place, and he had one. In a desperate move, he took one of my pawns. No biggie. I had another pawn to recapture his. This is where my blunder occurred. My mind slipped, and I lost my bishop. Instead of recapturing his pawn, I moved my bishop to put his king in check. Instantly, I realized I made a careless mistake and lost the game already won. I forgot to recapture his pawn with my pawn first before moving my bishop. And once you lift your hand off the piece, the move is final. I realized my mistake after I lifted my hand and he took my bishop with his pawn. The attack was over. The momentum was lost. He actually did offer me a redo, but I refused to accept his offer. Chess is an emotional game for me. I was so discouraged by my folly, I declined the redo and forfeited the game. We shook hands and told each other, good game, like any gentleman would. Afterward, he told me how strong of moves I made, yet it was hard for me to not focus on the mistake I made. Even though my strategy was strong and the tactics used were powerful, all I could focus on was the blunder. Everyone falls short of perfection. We all have made a mistake pestering our minds. We feel sad, mad, or even disappointed with ourselves. However, mistakes are inevitable. Making one is not the problem. How we respond to and handle mistakes can be. Don't allow yourself to be defined by your shortcomings. Is there a mistake bothering you?
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love, is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you.
That was L-O-V-E by Nat King Cole. Love covers a multitude of sins. Do you know someone who is bothered by their mistake? One way to help them move on or forgive theirself is to communicate your love for them or to show them how to communicate their love. Are you not sure how to display your appreciation? Understanding how to speak a language is key. The love language, that is. In 1995, author Gary Chapman wrote the book, The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. The five languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. Now, the title did say how to express heartfelt commitment to your mate. However, each language can be communicated to anyone you care for. On Monday mornings, we have a very special person who always engineers our show. Cynthia is here. And
hello.
Just love to talk to you about what would you consider as your love language?
Well, after 20 years of marriage, it seems that the love language between me and my husband is food. So I make him really good homemade food. And that, over time, you know, you feed a man really good food, he ain't going nowhere. He just and I mean that in a nice way, but because he's, yeah, it's a language that's family. Food is family. And if you're, and it brings people together. And Thanksgivings, you know, Christmas, different holidays or birthdays or celebrations, there's, you know, food. And it's, it's very homey and nice and, yeah. So.
Now, would you consider that an act of service or as him receiving a gift? What would you think of that as?
I would think that the author sold this book on these premises, but love is more than these five languages. Love encompasses a lot more. There's family love. There's love of service, which you are doing here at KHY. There's love of knowledge, which Iowa State University represents. You know, people love sports. Go Cyclones. Go, you know, Hawkeyes. Go whatever mm-hmm. team you happen to love. You know, there's a lot of passion in sports. Right now, RAGBRAI is coming through Iowa. There's a lot of love there that goes into a lot of love, making them safe, making sure, you know, the communities have volunteers to support these lovely people from all over the world going through Iowa. It's everybody expresses love in a lot of ways. But Gary Chapman's five languages of love are his definitions. Mm-hmm. They are from his experiences. But you know, somebody else may have a completely different experience with love.
That's awesome that you mentioned that.
Yeah. So it encompasses more than the five languages. And your life experiences change, too. When you're a little kid, you have these like, you know, you think love is gifts because it's Christmas and you get toys.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you change through all your experiences and all your relationships, whether they be with your family or your friends or your work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you meet strangers and you could have the most profound experience with a random person just talking with them. You know, it's like, wow, you know, an angel sent you to talk with me and you just, you know, gave me hope and humanity. You know, it's life is interesting. So I would say these five languages of love are in the book, were Gary Chapman's, you know, parameters of love. And they're nice. They're kind of rounded. They, you know, but I would touch
a lot of different areas, but you wouldn't define it specifically.
I wouldn't define it as this because people, you know, the Greeks defined love in many, many different ways. The, you know, different cultures define it differently. I mean, but what do you know about love?
Mm-hmm.
What's, you know, and this is not Valentine's Day, but, you know, love surrounds us. This is Iowa. You know, Iowa nice, people being nice. That's a type of love.
Now, how important is it to showcase your love for somebody in a situation where they do make a mistake? Is that important how do you see that?
Showcase my love if somebody else does a mistake to me?
Not necessarily to you, but if you know that it is something that is like bothering them, like, and you know that you know, trying to show them form of forgiveness and a form of love could possibly help them through a situation. Do you believe that is possible?
Yeah, yeah. If it's a, you know, I don't know, chocolate always works. I mean, I mean, when I think about that, I think about those things that you place in between you and another person are just manifestations of trying to be closer to that person. And those things can actually block your relationship with that person if you are not already connected with them. And the connection is just talk with them and listen. And listening is huge because, you know, I've discovered in the radio, just listening to myself is like, I have a lot of chatter in my head. I have a lot of chatter. So it's been a great gift to be able to listen to myself and go, wow, you know, and I calm down that chatter and then I can listen to another person and hear what they have to say. And if I'm really calm, I can really hear them. And then when I make that connection, that all the stuff, whatever it is in between us, it kind of goes away. And it's benefited my personal relationships. It's benefited, you know, just me viewing people differently. So I think it's, you know, don't go into things with preconceived ideas, because a lot of people have chatter in their heads, and that chatter can be distracting.
Wow. I did not expect you to
get
this
powerful. Yeah, I'm a deep well. I'm a deep well, babe.
Oh, man.
And I make casseroles really – I made homemade gravy for my husband this weekend that was epic. Epic homemade, you know, biscuits and gravy.
See, now I feel the love in the room right now and appreciation. And speaking of the love and the appreciation, I wanted to mention that this is my final episode as a host for Local Talk as an intern. And I wanted to share that, you know, I have developed a great appreciation for you in regards to those specific love languages. And, you know, I feel as if I have spent a lot of quality time with the people at KHOI as far as having just conversations in between, like, you know, you and I always have a conversation every time there's an audio playing, or, you know, sitting out with Pat and talking about
Pat Schlarbaum, our resident phonologist.
Or like, you know, Gail, I wanted to thank Gail for every time she's even given me a ride to to the station.
Being the young college
host,
student, you know, with no vehicle.
Exactly. What? You know, like, there's a lot of things. And, you know, In the time where Ursula had, left for the couple weeks,
She went to France and was basking on in Paris and, on the Champs-Élysées, it's like, I feel really bad for her. You know, she came back with a great tan and ate great food, and we're just sitting here schlepping it in Iowa.
That's not that. But, you know, in that time, when she was gone, you know, my internship actually was not supposed to be so centered around Local Talk, but I saw that there was a need for that. And because
that's how it works here in volunteer organizations. You see a problem, you get to fix it.
and that was the thing, is that, you know, out of the care and respect for KHOI and the need for that, and my appreciation even for Ursula, you know, I wanted to show that type of service.
Well, your service has been appreciated, and your work has been recognized. And I like the style that you have, sir. You are a scholar and a gentleman.
Thank you so much. And I wanted to also say that I encourage other interns and volunteers to think of points to ponders and other ideas to continue in the future. And in the future, I will still send a few points to ponder. And don't worry about that one. I just wanted to give a special thanks to a friend of mine who introduced me to those five love languages. You know, I couldn't have thought of a better way to finish my final segment on Local Talk than to communicate my love and appreciation for KHOI. And, you know, her sharing those love languages helped me to think of this idea. So thank you to my friend Mariah. All right. That was Love Come Down by Evelyn Champagne King. This is Local Talk on 89.1 KHOI FM Community Radio. I am your host, Saquon Gatlin. Thank you for tuning in to the show this morning. We have been listening to one of the Points to Ponders episodes. You can share your perspective with us if you give a call in sometime. Today is the fourth Monday of the month, therefore we have a very particular person who is in the studio with me this morning. That is Crystal Davis from the Ames Visitors or Convention and Visitors Bureau. She's here to talk about the upcoming events that are going on in August, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a lot of things that happened in July, and it's not finished yet, but, you know, something big is coming up, too, tomorrow, I heard. I don't know for sure, but I heard. But
that's right. We got a little event, a little one-day party, as we like to say.
One-day party.
Yeah. So, you know, we just got done having Iowa Games on here this past weekend for their big weekend. They're back again next weekend. But another great example of Ames welcoming our guests and visitors. And so we are so happy they were here and we had a great time. And so true to Ames fashion, we're ready. Just one day to rest up, and we're going to welcome the Ragby Riders tomorrow. We hope to have 20,000 of our closest friends be all over Ames and be downtown as well. So,
jeez Louise, yeah. 20,000.
That's what they say. Yeah,
that's a very large influx of people. Now, you said the Iowa Games is going on. I think I saw that at the state gym that was, but there, it's at all of the gyms and things of that nature, right?
Right.
Like it's all over the place.
Right. Ames and Iowa State are great partners with Iowa Games. And so, yeah, they were all over campus, all over Ames. You might have driven by in university and saw some soccer going on and some archery, and there's taekwondo on campus. So, yeah, they're back next weekend with not as many people, but they'll be having some competition around Ames as well. So we're glad to have them here.
All right. Now, we're not completely done with the month of July. There's about one last week or so. Can you tell us anything that's going on in that week before we jump into August?
Right. So as we mentioned, Ragby, if you're interested to know more about Ragby, go to AmesRagby.com. We've got all kinds of maps, how to get in and around town, as well as check out the entertainment lineup. That'll be right down here on Main Street tomorrow night. And then, you know, it's kind of business as usual in Ames as well. So Wednesday, we've got the North Grand Farmers Market that happens up at North Grand Mall. As then we lead into the weekend. And we've got some good things, as always, to come back downtown for the Ames Main Street Farmers Market. Head back up to North Grand. And as always, we just say check out our website at thinkames.com for all kinds of other events that I probably don't have time to mention. To round out the end of July.
All right. So that is the end of the July events. And they can get the calendar. Where's that at?
If you go to thinkgames.com and click on calendar on our upper right-hand corner, and you'll get to a whole list of day by day of what's going on.
Thinkgames.com. Click on the word calendar. Now, August is what you are here for, so let's go ahead into the first week of August. What can we expect to see around the city of Ames?
Right. So I was remiss to not say starting Friday, July 27th through August 2nd, we'll be having Rummage Rampage, and that is in partnership with the City of Ames and the ISU Office of Sustainability.
That made Cynthia very happy.
Exactly.
Everyone.
This is a great event, and this has really grown. So, as you know, the changing of the guard, so to speak, on some apartments and some housing happens at the end of July into August. And so they've kind of come together for not only the students, but for all of the community, a way that they can repurpose their items and get some of those great things. Instead of throwing them away, we can get them into some good homes and people have a kind of a, it's kind of a new lease on your furniture and things. So that'll be happening at the Intermodal Facility over by Campus Town. It's at 129 Hayward Avenue. Okay. And Friday the 27th is they have item drop-off. And then the sales start Saturday, July 28th, all the way through August 1st. And then mark this on your calendar. August 2nd is when there are half-price items. So be sure to check that out. And it's open to everyone to go participate and purchase items.
Now, you said, where was this at again?
They will be located in the Ames Intermodal Parking Facility, just a little bit on the west side of Campus Town. And the official address is 129 Hayward Avenue.
Now, can people just, like, drop off things? And then how exactly does that work?
Absolutely. So the item drop-off will be happening, like I mentioned, on Friday, July 27th. They also have some drop-off times on Saturday, July 28th and 29th. I'm sorry. Well, I guess all day. I'm not reading my notes correctly, but they can drop items off, and then they take care of getting them arranged, and very affordable price tags come on. And so then when you come back, it's a little bit of shopping, and maybe when you drop some items off, you can do a little pre-shopping and check that out and come back. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Now that is going on at the very end of July into August. What do we have going on in the second week of August?
Right. So one thing I wanted to make note of is, you know, Ryman Gardens has always got a lot of events and activities going on, but mm-hmm. a special one on Thursday, August 2nd, it is their Teacher Appreciation Day. So free admission on the 2nd for all current school district employees. You know, they just need to show their school ID or badge to gain the free admission. But what a great way to say thank you to the teachers. And they can go check out the gardens and maybe relax a little bit before they get ramped up for the school year.
Right. The school year is getting ready to get back in session. You know, that'd be a nice opportunity for everyone to relax.
Right. Another thing, our local public library is also throws on the best events. And of a very popular movie, they're going to show on Friday, August 3rd. Their Friday flicks, The Greatest Showman, and that's from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. over at the library on Douglas Avenue, and so they'll have popcorn, and you can enjoy the movie in their air-conditioned comfort of their Farrell T. Brown Auditorium on the 3rd as well.
Nice, nice. Yeah. So we got some things going on at the library as well.
One thing I like to mention is when you do yoga and craft brews, so Sunday, August 5th, you know, get your yoga on and then maybe celebrate that accomplishment with a craft brew.
I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I'm very interested in exactly how this works. So is it you drink and then do yoga, or you yoga and drink, or you teeter-totter back and forth?
What is the nature of this event? Your flexibility and how well you can handle that. But yeah, so that'll be up North Ames at Alluvial Brewing Company on Sunday, August 5th from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And it's only a one-hour yoga class, and bring your own mat, and then they have craft brews, coffee, and that available as well. So a good time.
All right. Yeah. Cynthia loved that one. Yeah. Speaking of love, she loved that one.
Right. I did want to mention the library again on Thursday, August 9th. They are having a hot dog dinner theater, which how cool is that? So families and the young at heart, you can come see the magic of Rick Eugene, as well as enjoy a hot dog with chips as you enjoy the magic show. So they're going to be having a magic show on Thursday, August 9th, 12 p.m., 12:30 p.m., 5 p.m., 5:30. And or if you want to see the magic show without the meal, you can come between 2 and 3. So what a fun idea.
Wow. So we have magic and food. Where is that at again?
This will be at the Ames Public Library on 515 Douglas Avenue.
All right. I might have to drive back up to Ames and
check that out.
Participate in that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mentioned back to school earlier, and so, of course, it's August and a lot of folks are getting ready. But I want to mention at the Ames Middle School, they're having a blast back to school fair. This is Friday, August 10th. It will be at the Ames Middle School, which is at 3915 Mortenson Road here in Ames. And this is a back-to-school fair that aims to relieve the burden of back-to-school expenses for families K through 12. It'll be a fun and engaging atmosphere out there, and children will receive some basic school supplies and backpacks and just everything to help them get ready for the start of the new school year. And they're also going to have health screenings available. And it's a free event, so we encourage you to come from 1 to 5 at the middle school on August 10th.
Nice. Now, what can we expect about, like, mid-August or so, like that week of the 12th? What's going on that week?
Well, I hear there's a little birthday party happening here.
Oh, whoa.
On Sunday, August 12th.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, KHOI. Yeah. Well, yeah, so happy birthday to you. From 4 to 7 on Sunday, August 12th, you'll be celebrating.
Yes, we will.
6 years of community radio. And I see you're doing a bring your own t-shirt to print for a fun activity. So, and you'll have cake and lemonade. So, yeah, community, come on out and support KHOI on August 12th, 4 to 7.
Make sure you come through.
Yeah. So have you heard about the famous senior variety show?
They're
no, coming. It's coming. So we'd like to invite everyone. This is a well-known and well-received and super talented senior variety show. They'll be on Friday and Saturday, August 17th and 18th. They'll be at the Ames City Auditorium. And I've heard some of them perform at other events, and they are fabulous. They're funny. They're talented. They can sing. The show features over 100 performers. And the proceeds for the benefit local senior programs, and any senior in Story County, 60 years or older, they have tryouts, and they get to participate in this. And their theme is called Simply Stellar. So we invite you to check that out. It'll be a great time.
Right. And what's the location on that one?
Ames City Auditorium.
Ames City Auditorium. Mm-hmm. You can check out the senior variety show.
Right.
Simply Stellar.
I also want to draw mention to a Carillon concert series. This is later in the month, Tuesday, August 28th, over at the Campanile on Central Campus. They're going to have Ellen Dickinson from Trinity College, and she's going to be their guest and performer, and she's going to do a concert at the Campanile from 7 to 8 p.m. So we invite you to come over to the campus, bring your lawn chair, and hang out and listen to that. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful concert.
Yeah, it should be.
Absolutely. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that at the end of the August, every other year we host the Farm Progress Show, and that is a 3-day event. It brings over 100,000 folks to Central Iowa.
Oh, wow.
And you'll see some of them filling up our area hotels. We encourage them, dining out in Ames. But they're over at the Central Iowa Expo between us and Boone. And Iowa State has a big presence there. It's open to the public. You can go and tour the site and check in. And every time they're here, they release cutting-edge technology. And 2 years ago, they introduced the driverless tractor. And so it's a must-see.
I've heard it all.
Yeah, great vendors out there. And we love that they choose to come to Central Iowa and stay here, as well as visit our attractions, our local restaurants, and as well as promote the ag industry as well.
Now, you said 100,000?
We'll have over 100,000 visitors over those 3 days.
Wow. I thought 20,000 was a big number.
International.
Oh, you were correct. There's a big international visitors demographic that does come here, so we're happy to welcome them. And they also learn from us and what they can do back in their home country for agriculture.
All right. Is there any last thing that you want to mention about the month of August?
We're looking forward to it. Ames is always so busy. We always have the problem of we've got so many choices of what to do and what to see. And we encourage you to just take advantage of everything that's out there. Ames is also a great place to do a little stay vacation, too, is what I like to say. So check it out.
All righty. Thank you. That was Crystal Davis from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. I want to thank you for coming in, as always.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Local Talk. I have been your host, Saquon Gatlin. Thank you for listening. KHOI would like to thank all of today's guests and contributors for making this show possible. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Remember, you can also hear a recording of this show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. Also, remember KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Stay tuned for headline news and Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9 a.m. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.